The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my call.
And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening and welcome to Spirit of Faith Talk Radio. So glad you're with us tonight. God is good. The devil is defeated. Jesus is Lord. I hope you all have had a great week. We're having a little technical difficulty again this morning. I'm telling you, Gary, I will be so glad to be back in the studio with you. It will be a breath of fresh air. Why don't you tell everybody how to get on board tonight, and I'm going to see if I can fix this problem.
All right. But by the way, you sound excellent coming over the air here. So
the problem is getting on Facebook.
Okay.
So we're slightly delayed. But go ahead. Let me see if I can get it fixed while
sure
you let
thing.
Them know how to contact us tonight.
Okay, folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward. If you'd like to call us by telephone in the Toronto GTA area, our number is 905-725-1907, toll-free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325, and worldwide, a special number just for you, call 1-866-656-5477, and you can also email us. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And you are listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with Pastor John Ward.
Praise God. Thanks, Gary. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get Facebook going. It's locked me out. So bless the Lord. God is good. Anyways, we trust that you all have had a great week this week, and we're trusting God. So looking forward to being back in church very soon. Right now, as of most of you, we're not able to meet in the congregation. Our headquarters church in Southfield, Michigan, they're going to be meeting again back together for the first time this coming weekend. On Saturday, they have an evening service and then two services on Sunday. And church will start getting back. And of course, we're going to stay safe. But I want to talk about being safe tonight and what being safe is all about. And how to be protected as believers, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I was even just thinking a few minutes ago about how Jesus operated when he was on the earth. And Jesus did not operate with fear. And there was sickness and disease. There were bacterial infections, viral infections. One of the big things in that day, which would consider people to be unclean in the camp and in the city, and they'd have to go into their own camps, were people that had leprosy. And Jesus was not afraid to be around the lepers. He would touch them. He spent time with them. He ministered to them. He healed them. And he never got leprosy. There's not one, any talk of Jesus ever getting leprosy. And today we see this virus, COVID, being a pandemic and so many people getting it. But then we also see many not getting it, even though they have been around it. I was listening to my pastor yesterday, Bishop Keith Butler from Detroit, and he was talking about just the day before they shut everything down, he was ministering to the sick. You know, the Bible says that believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he laid hands, he said, on thousands of people at the church. And the next day when they shut everything down, we know that some people at the church did have COVID-19. However, he never got it. And that was, what, 7 weeks ago now. So just because you're around people that have COVID-19 does not mean you're going to get it. And we talked about last week how the scripture says in Mark 16 that if you eat any deadly thing, it will not harm you. And we also see how the scripture says if you take up a deadly snake. Now, here's where some people miss it. And there are churches, especially in the South, that do this, where they have church services where they actually take up snakes to prove that God's word is true. Well, that's called tempting God. And we don't tempt God. We don't challenge the word of God to see whether or not it's true. We don't put ourselves into a dangerous situation. No, we stand on God's word. And if something were to happen, then we know that we are protected by God's word, by his word that protects us, praise God. So we don't tempt God, but if something were to happen, we know that we're covered and protected. I want to just take a moment and welcome all of our Facebook viewers. This whole time I'm talking, I'm trying to also get it going. There we go. Praise God. Finally got Facebook up. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so sorry that we're late. We had some technical difficulties getting up on Facebook Live, but here we are. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So let's get into the word tonight. We're going to pray, and I'm excited about what we're going to talk about tonight. So let's pray, and we'll get right into the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you tonight for our viewing and listening audience all over the world. Lord, once again, you've been so faithful. You've been so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for more and more listeners every week and even more this week. Father, we bless all of our listening audience. We pray your blessing, your peace upon each and every one of them. We pray, Father, tonight that you will answer prayers, that you will answer questions, that you will charge all of our spirits, renew our minds, help us to see things the way that you see things, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement said amen. Amen. Praise God. Now go with me tonight to our text, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. If you're just tuning in, I see Scott tuned in on Facebook. Go ahead and share us. And if you're listening on Reality Radio 101, send out a text message, put us up on Twitter or Facebook or however you listen or however you connect with social media, and let other folks know that we're on tonight live. If you want to call in, Gary just told you how to do that. Of course, you can email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you, especially if you're a first-time listener, or if you have a Bible question or a prayer request, or even something that might seem challenging or difficult. Write us tonight. Let us know what your thoughts are. We'd love to hear from you. You can also call us toll-free at 866-905-REAL, or anywhere in the world at 866-656-LIPS. Praise God. And all that information is right there on your page, or also on Facebook. Let's read our text message tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken, we also believe and therefore speak. Of course, we know 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, we are to be those that are not just hearers of God's word, but doers of the word. I've had a lot of prayer requests lately. A lot of folks have been writing in on the radio channel, every week, and they've been asking, you know, they're saying, Pastor, I'm praying, but why isn't God answering our prayers? I'm praying, why haven't things changed? Well, number one, we might not be praying the right way. If that's you out there and you're just praying that this virus would just disappear, that's not the right prayer necessarily. And I want to take a look at some examples of that. When we pray, the Bible says that we should be praying according to the word of God. One scripture tells us, let's go tonight over to John chapter 14 and verse 12. Go with me, if you would, to John 14, verse 12. As we're turning there, if you'd like to email us tonight, if you have a prayer request, if you have a Bible question, email us instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. And we're going to look at John chapter 14 right now, verse 12. Let's read that. And it reads, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." Now, back in the days and the times of Jesus, there was a disease that was very contagious, and it was not necessarily uncommon. And people that got leprosy were isolated from the camp. Now, I was thinking earlier that it's interesting that when they isolated the lepers, they didn't isolate all of the well people. They didn't isolate all the communities. They only isolated the sick people in the community. It's interesting that we are isolating everybody. I mean, the whole world is on shutdown. And that's something that, as far as I know, is unprecedented. Even during the time of the Spanish flu in 1918, when 50 million people died, they did not isolate the whole world. They locked up, you know, they told the people that were sick to stay by themselves while they get better. That was H1N1. But they didn't lock up everybody. And here we are shutting the entire world down, shutting the economy down, shutting everything down. And the world's coming to a place now where we're going to have some serious economic problems, including food and all kinds of other things that are going to rise up as a result of everybody being locked up. But the point I wanted to make is that when Jesus was walking on the earth during this time, 2,000 years ago, and there was sickness and diseases, there were plagues, there were pestilences, including leprosy, Jesus walked among those that had leprosy, even though they were considered to be unclean and Jews were to stay away from them. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus went to them. Jesus prayed with them, and Jesus was not afraid of getting sick. You say, well, that was Jesus. Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and let's see how Jesus acted. And let's find out from this scripture, are we supposed to act the way that Jesus acted? Hebrews chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, and it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." So author means that he is the establisher. He is the beginner. He is the one who started this. And finisher means the one who is going to complete this work. He is the architect of where we're going. And so he says, we're supposed to look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word looking in the Greek is the Greek word skopios. And skopios means to look down like a scope, skopios, looking down a scope that's magnified, and you're blocking out everything around it, and that magnification is on your target. And so the word skopios, when it says looking unto Jesus, it means he's our target. He's the one that we're looking to. And people say, well, I can't live like Jesus. That was Jesus. Well, look at what he says here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4, he says, be imitators of God as dear children. What do you mean be an imitator of God? I'm supposed to act like God? Hey, I'm not telling you to do that. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says we're supposed to act like Jesus. And we just read in John 14 where Jesus said, these works shall you do and greater works. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus was around those that had leprosy. The Bible says he healed all manner of sickness and disease. How much is all? Well, all is every single one. Let's take a look at a few of these examples. And really, even in the Old Testament, we see that the prophets of old healed those that had leprosy. One of them was Naaman, who was the general of the Syrian army. He got leprosy, and the king of Syria had heard that the God in Israel could heal. So he sent a letter to the king in Israel and said, healed my servant. Well, the king ripped his clothes and said, what? I can't, my God that I can heal, I can't heal, but send him over to Elijah the prophet. And he sent him over to the prophet. And when he got to the prophet Elisha, Elisha told Naaman what to do. Well, Naaman was a proud man, but the long story short, he said, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times, not 6 times, not 5 times, not 4 times, go wash 7 times. Well, he went and washed. And on the 7th time that he came out of the Jordan, he was totally healed. His skin was like flesh. The prophet, by the power of God, healed the leprosy. Well, we see Jesus also healing those that had leprosy. Go with me. Let's see what Jesus commanded his disciples first in Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 10. I got a whole bunch of emails coming in. We're going to get to you in just a minute. If you'd like to email us tonight, if you have a Bible question, what do you do in these times? Are you supposed to just run and hide? Are you supposed to just stay in your house? Are you supposed to just stay away from anybody who might have COVID? And it could be absolutely anybody. This thing is a virus that is penetrating places that people thought they were protected, and they're finding out that they weren't, and they still got COVID. It's a virus. But just because other people are getting this virus doesn't mean that you or I have to get it. Praise God. God's word is powerful. God's word is like taking an inoculation. It's like taking a vaccine. And when you stand on God's word will protect you. Praise God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and let's read start with verse 5. These 12 apostles Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Now, if you're going to cleanse a leper and you're going to lay hands on the sick, you're going to have to come in contact with that virus. So Jesus told his disciples to not only come in contact with those that had the virus, but to heal them in his authority. He says, cast out devils. Well, first he said, raise the dead, cast out devils. Now, this was another one. The Jews were forbidden to go around dead bodies because dead bodies were considered to be unclean. And there was a reason for that, because they could have died of a sickness or disease. You hang out with this dead body, and now that sickness or disease gets on you. And they were told to stay outside the camp for a period of 12 to 24 hours. Then they could come back in after the priest cleansed them. But that period of time gave enough time for whatever disease was on them to die. Praise God. And then he says, freely you have received, so freely give. Now drop over to chapter 11 and look at beginning with verse 2. Now when John the Baptist had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, go ye and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. What was Jesus doing? Cleansing the lepers. In order to cleanse the lepers, he had to pray for the lepers. He had to touch the lepers. Jesus was not afraid of those that had sickness or disease. Why? Because he was not afraid of the sickness or disease getting on the inside of him. Why? Because Jesus operated in the life of God. Praise God. Let's go, before we go down this road any further, let's go to Romans chapter 5 for a moment. And let's see, in this new life in Christ, how God has called us to walk. See, all sickness and disease is a product of sin. The Bible says the payment of sin is death. And that death comes from the curse of the law. So curses, sickness, disease is all under the curse. You can read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But what is the blessing? The blessing is healing. The blessing is protection. When God said that we are saved through Jesus, he says that we have protection. That word save, or salvation rather, is the word soteria. Soteria means to be preserved, to be protected. He tells us in Psalm 91 that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. He says, no evil will befall you, neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. Come nigh whose dwelling? The one who's abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. How do you abide in that shadow of the Almighty? You do it by walking by faith. Well, how do you know you're walking by faith? We having the same spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. How do you know you're in faith? By the words of your mouth. Jesus said, by your words you will be condemned, and by your words you will be justified. Your words come from your heart. He said, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. You say, well, I think I'm in faith, but I'm not sure if I'm in faith. All you got to do is check to see what word you're saying. Are you saying, I don't know if God's answering my prayer? You're not in faith. Are you saying, well, I don't know if I'm healed or not? You're not in faith. If you're saying, I don't know if God's going to take care of my needs or not, you're not in faith. You're saying, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You're not in faith. Why? Because the Bible says that so then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This word says you are going to make it. This word says that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. This word says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This word says God gives his beloved sweet sleep. This word says God will guard your mind with his peace and with his joy. So whether or not you're in faith depends on you knowing one thing. What are you saying? Because there are times you may not feel peace. There are times you may not feel joy. There are times that things may not look like the Bible says that they should look. Things may not look like you want them to look, but we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't go by what we see with our eyes. We have to go by what God's word says. And the only way that you will know whether or not you're walking by faith is if you're speaking his word. We having the same spirit of faith, we believe, therefore we speak. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. We have to hold fast to that word. He said, truly I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto that mountain, mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, doubt not in his heart, but believe that those things that you say, he will have whatsoever he says. Well, how do you know if you're doubting in your heart? By what you say. If you start saying something contrary to what you believe, contrary to the word of God, then you're not in faith. You're in doubt. And what do you need to do? You need to repent. How did Jesus overcome leprosy? How did Jesus overcome disease? Because he was God? No, man. Jesus didn't walk the earth as God. He walked the earth as the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Ghost. You'll notice if you study the scriptures that Jesus didn't do one miracle until he was baptized with the Holy Ghost in the River Jordan. Jesus experienced what we call the hypostatic union. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. He did not operate on this earth as God. He operated on this earth as the second Adam, Romans and 1 Corinthians. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. Well, who are we? We are men. And when you get born again, the Bible says we receive the Holy Spirit to dwell on the inside of us. And then we're to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come up on you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. What kind of witness? A witness who acts just like Jesus. You are somebody who does what Jesus did. Jesus said, we read it at the top of tonight's program in John 14. He said, these works shall you do and greater because I go unto the Father. In Mark chapter 16, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They will speak with new tongues. They will cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall take up serpents and it will not harm them. Amen. We are to go forth in the power of God, acting like Jesus acted. If you're afraid to be around sickness and disease, how are you going to help anybody? How are you going to pray for anybody? I'm reminded once again of John G. Lake at the turn of the century. His ministry was in Africa, and he would pray for those that had bubonic plague. When you have bubonic plague, once you contract it, within 24 hours, these people were dead. And he was burying them. He was praying for them. He was helping them. And they came to him one day and they said, sir, why aren't you getting sick? And he said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, if any deadly thing touches my body, it dies immediately. They said, oh, really? Let us try that out. So they took some of this bubonic plague and they put it on his hand. And before they did, they put it under the microscope and they saw all these living organisms going nutso. And after they put it on his skin, they took it off and they put it under a magnifying glass and they saw that every single one of those cells were dead. What happened? It touched his body. Faith overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We need to gear our faith up right now. We need to be in Psalm 91. My son and my daughter, they're reading Psalm 91 every single day. Psalm 91, Psalm 23. They're feeding their faith, starving their doubts, so that if something does happen, if they get into a situation, what comes out of their belly? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What comes out of their belly? That by his stripes I'm healed, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. If I eat any deadly thing, it will not harm me. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. No evil shall befall me. God gives his angels charge over me, protect me, and keep me in all my ways. Man, that's how Jesus lived. Even when Satan tried to trick him and say, jump off the pinnacle of this temple, for it is written, God will give his angels charge over you. It came out of his belly by the Holy Ghost. Devil, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus didn't fall for those tricks. Why? Because the word of God was in him. And the same way that Jesus lived is the same way that he's called us to live, by faith. We are men and women of faith, praise God. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 18. Romans 5, verse 18. Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Let me read that again. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that's Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus, the free gift, righteousness, came upon all men under justification of life. The word justification means that when you are in Christ, it's just as if you never sinned. Sin could not touch Jesus. Sickness and disease could not touch Jesus. Even those that tried to kill him couldn't kill Jesus. Jesus said, no man takes my life, I lay it down. Praise God. It should be no different in our life. I believe that when it came time for Peter to become a martyr, he laid his life down. Praise God. Amen. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, many are made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, see, Satan always overplays his card. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It's interesting that in the time of Noah, by the way, happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful mothers out there. Happy, happy Mother's Day. Praise God. You know, in the time of Noah, Noah had a godly wife. He had a wife by his side, a wife that helped him, a wife that encouraged him, a wife that had to go through very difficult times. When you're talking about the entire earth was in sin and only eight people were not, this was a righteous woman that stood by her husband, even greater than Job. Job's wife didn't stand by him. Job's wife said, just curse God and die already. No, man, but Noah's wife stood by him the entire time. And during that time, there were only eight people that were saved, and everybody on this earth became full of sin, and then sin produced judgment. Praise God. And sin that abounded so much, grace did so much more abound. And as the sin got worse and worse, what happened? God sent a flood, and the sin stayed here, and Noah, God caused Noah to rise up right above it. Praise God. Verse 21, this is where we're going. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, we'll come back to this in just a moment, but let me get to a few prayer requests or a few emails tonight. A whole bunch have come in here. If you'd like to email us, if you have a Bible question, a praise report, if you're a first-time listener, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. Go ahead and just write to us. If you're a first-time listener, we have at least 40 to 50 new first-time listeners every week. I'd love to hear from you tonight. instudio101@gmail.com. I have to check the numbers, Gary. You might have them right there. How long we've been on the air? I think we're just over a year now.
Yeah, we're just over a year. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but yes, that's accurate.
I'm pulling them up. I'll have them here in just a minute. Let me go ahead and get to some of these emails. Got an email here tonight from our friend Ann. And Ann says, hello, Pastor. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all your listeners around the globe. May our Lord give them many blessings today, as well as in the coming summer months. I love your show. Listening from Chicago, Illinois, Nancy. We bless you, Nancy. Thank you for listening. We bless Chicago. We call you blessed. We call you protected in the name of Jesus. Praise God. You know, Chicago has been in the front lines for years now with all the shootings and all the violence going on. So we thank God for you, Nancy. We lift you up tonight. Just to answer my own question here, we've been on the air since April 28th, 2019. So we just passed a year. Last week, it was our one-year anniversary. Praise. I would have thought that Gary would have. But that's
sorry
all right.
About
we
that.
Forgive him, don't we? We forgive him. Praise God. No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
I'm going to go ahead and give some numbers. Is that okay, Gary?
Sure. By all means.
We started with 446 listeners on April 28th. And we have gone up every week except 2 weeks. 1 week was a Thanksgiving for Canada last year. We went down by just a few. And then when I was off the air for one Sunday, we went down by a few. But otherwise, we've gone up every single week. We started once again at 400 and 46 listeners, and we're now up as of last week to 3,553, 35 over 3,550 on Reality Radio 101. And then we've got another several hundred listeners that get us on Facebook. So we're just so blessed to be able to bring the word of faith to you every week. It's really just an honor and a privilege. And we're just here to sow into your life. Praise God. So thank you, Nancy. Got another email here tonight from our friend Jennifer. Sorry, I was about to sneeze. Excuse me. And Jennifer writes and says, hello, Pastor. You sound amazing here in Manhattan, New York City. Talk about the front lines. That's right where you are, Jennifer. Thanks for your show tonight. God bless you, Jennifer. We're praying for New York. Father, we just thank you for blessing the governor. Thank you, Lord, for blessing Governor Cuomo. We plead the blood of Jesus, Father, over New York City, over Manhattan, over the state of New York. We pray, Father, for continued protection and that this COVID is wiped out. Thank you, Lord, for everything being opened back up in New York City. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Got another email here tonight from Joyce. Joyce says, Pastor, how should we then pray to God for this virus if we are not praying right? Thank you for the advice. Now, I'm not saying everybody's not praying right. And I'm not saying, you know, not to curse this virus by any means. But at the same time, I'm talking about us individually. We don't see in the scripture where Jesus came against leprosy as a disease. He healed those that got leprosy. And I believe we're going to see a lot of great healings. And I'm sure there's a lot of great healings going on now that I don't even know about. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that walked the seashores of Galilee is the same one that's healing through his church today. So I'm sure there's a lot of healings going on. But imagine when we get back in church, man, we're going to be praying for everybody. And we're going to see the power of God in operation. Amen. And but until then, and individually, you say, well, how should we pray? Well, we should walk in the power of God that he gave us, which is that each of us, number one, are protected. And number two, that we should be praying for others. Amen. Thank you for that great email. Another email here tonight from our friend Linda. Linda says, thank you for the word tonight. It means so much to all of us here in isolation. We are in St. Augustine, Florida. Praise God. I know Florida is opening up. We were talking to my wife's sister and husband and boys tonight in Florida, and he was out golfing the other day. And so things are starting to open back up, and we're going to see them open up more and more. We were also talking about the numbers in Georgia. And Georgia opened up about a month ago, and there were a lot of naysayers and people in a certain political party that were saying they were opening up way too early and they were going to have all kinds of problems. And I think even President Trump told them he was opening up too early. However, the numbers came out, and there's an increase of 40% of people who have been diagnosed, which tells us that there is a lot more testing that's going on, but there is a decrease in hospitalizations, a decrease in deaths, and a decrease in people that are on ventilators. So even though the number of cases of people diagnosed have gone up, the numbers of those who have died or been put in the hospital or been put on ventilators has gone down. So we're seeing those numbers on a downtrend, and they were the first state to open up, praise God. So we're going to conquer this thing. And in the meantime, believers should be getting stronger and stronger in their faith, and do not fear. We have it written on our window right here. It says, fear is a liar. Do not be afraid, praise God. God, Jesus has given us victory over death. Before we go on to another email, let's just take a look at what the Word of God says about victory over death. Go over very quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This whole chapter is about Jesus being raised from the dead. And if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then our faith is in vain. But if he is raised from the dead, then we stand in the power of the risen one. So he says here, beginning in verse 51, he says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Talking about getting your glorified body. How fast? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's not Donald Trump, but he could be the last Trump in office before Jesus comes. Jesus is coming. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, talking about your physical body, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, grave, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Victory over death. Why would someone be afraid of COVID? Because they're afraid it's going to kill them. You're not supposed to be afraid of nothing. If you're a believer, the Bible says that God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. We've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We got a daddy. We got one who's watching over us. We got one who is keeping us. We can look up under the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who created everything, the one who is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals us. He delivers us. He sent his word, that's Jesus Christ, and delivered us from all of our destruction. Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, and who delivers thy life from destruction. Amen. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our protector. He is our sanctifier. He is our righteousness. He's the one who makes things right in our life. He's the one who will protect us. And so when we go out there and you walk the streets or you go to work or you go to church, man, fear not. Do not be afraid. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I'm not saying to be foolish. I'm not saying to disregard washing your hands. I mean, God told the Jewish people all through the Bible, wash your hands, wash them a lot. Do use some sanitation. You know, be smart. Don't be dumb. But at the same time, do not fear. I'd rather touch something that's got disease on it than fear. Amen. Because just like with John G. Lake, you'll be protected. Just like Jesus, when he laid hands on the sick, he never got leprosy. The disciples that prayed for the sick that had leprosy, they never got leprosy. Why? Because they're doing the work of the master. Psalm 91, we are protected. He says, he's given us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Victory over what? Victory over death. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Praise God. Let's get to some more emails here tonight. If you'd like to email us, especially if you're a first-time listener, love to hear from you tonight. Email us instudio101@gmail.com. The only thing it'll cost you is about 20 seconds to write me an email. So I'd love to hear from you tonight. Got another email here tonight from our friend Frank. Frank says, hello, Pastor, loving your teaching tonight. I have had faith for many weeks regarding this virus. Why has God taken so long to get it under control? We are praying to him. Thanks. It's not God that's taking so long. Remember, God is not in control of the things in this earth. You can watch the news and figure out real quick, God's not in control. Even Jesus said, if this were my planet, if this were my kingdom, I would call legions of angels down and they would deliver me. No, man, this planet is given to man. This planet is given over to the ruler of man, and man gave it over to Satan. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says that Satan is the god of this world. And Adam, when he sinned, he gave control over to Satan, rather. And now Satan is running things. How? Through wicked men, through rulers that are evil, praise God. And so people are in control, not God. I mean, the virus, though it's bad, and though tens and tens and tens of thousands have died, there are also many, many who have not contracted this virus, praise God. And so even if you contract it, it's not a death sentence. It's a very low percentage that you're going to die. But I'm not trying to minimize that, because probably some people listening tonight, I have a lot of friends and a lot of family in Detroit, and Detroit's been hit really hard. And so, man, I'm praying for them. I'm praying. I'm not trying to be callous by any means. And when it affects you personally and it hits home, man, it'll rock your world. But at the same time, we don't grieve like those that have no hope. We grieve like those that know that if someone has perished, if someone has physically died, they've not died spiritually if they know Jesus. For we are confident that they have gone to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 that to die is gain. To go to be with Christ is far better. Praise God. So be encouraged tonight. If you know somebody who's passed on, especially if they knew the Lord, know that they are safe and sound. Praise God. I got another email here tonight from Barb. Barb says, hello, Pastor Ward. First time listener from, help me with this, Gary. Iqaluit?
Yeah, Iqaluit. Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yes, that's right.
Well, praise God. I thought I was speaking in tongues there. Iqaluit. None of it. And it says, exciting to find a faith-based show on the internet here. When we can get internet signal? You must be out in the middle of nowhere. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out there. God bless you and your ministry, Ralph. Thanks, Ralph. So great to hear from you tonight. And we wish Barb a happy Mother's Day and the rest of the family there. God bless you. Really glad that you've tuned in tonight. Got another email here tonight from Erica. Erica says, hello, Pastor. Is it considered a favor if we ask God to cure and stop this virus? Is it his way for population control? So many questions, so many people confused when something like this happens. Thank you. No, it's a great question, Erica. And where we go to answers is we go to the Word of God. And the Bible says one great verse that will really help is 3 John verse 2. And 3 John verse 2 says this, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. God's will is that we be in health. And then we also find out this word perish means to die by process of time. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, himself bore our sicknesses in his body on that tree, talking about the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah 53 says that it pleased the Father to bruise Jesus. Why? Because himself bore our sins in his body. Himself, surely he has carried our transgressions. He has borne our infirmities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus paid the price for us to be healed. Does God use a virus to control population? God never uses sickness and disease, period. The Bible says in James chapter 1, let no man say when he goes through a trial that he is being tried from God, because God can try no man with evil. Why? Because God doesn't have evil to try. He is not the taker. You know, many times people misquote Job and they say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was giving from his heart the information that he understood. But Job didn't have light like we have light. Of course, Jesus had not come. We had not received the prophets. Job was during the time of Abraham, many, many years ago. Abraham was about 2,000 years after Adam, 2,000 years before Christ. And Job was around the same time as Abraham. We find out what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says, the thief cometh only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God is not the taker. God is not the thief. God is not the one that brings disease. God is good, period, end of story. You say, well, it doesn't seem like God's answering my prayer. Sure he is. If you're praying according to the word of God, sure he is. He's answering your prayer. You're still 6 feet up, aren't you? Praise the Lord. Amen. God is answering your prayers. Trust him. Keep your eyes on him. Make sure you spend time in the word of God every day. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need the word of God to renew our mind, to charge our spirits. We need the word of God to help us see what is real and what is not real. The truth is what we need, and it only comes from the word of God. Great email, Erica. God bless you. We call you blessed tonight in Jesus' name. Another email here tonight from Ray. Ray says, excellent sermon. I didn't know I was preaching, Ray, but praise God. I guess I am preaching. You know, it's hard for a preacher not to preach. You know, what does a dog do? A dog barks. What's a cat do? Cat meows. What's a preacher do? Preacher preaches. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. And God has chosen preaching to save those that are lost. Praise God. And he's called preaching for us believers so that we might get fed, that we might get delivered. Thank God for the word of God. Another email here tonight from Stephen. Stephen says, love the show. It is always very exciting. I have been opening up my Bible more and more because of you. Thanks for that. Steve from Edmonton, Ontario. God bless you, Steve. That really encourages me tonight because I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to build you up. And, you know, I've been saying it quite often lately that there are times, man, where when someone comes along to encourage me, man, I need it. I'll take it. We need to encourage one another. The Bible says in Hebrews to exhort one another even more as we see that day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. Just ask him. If you say, well, you know what? I heard people have been talking about that for 2,000 years. And, you know, what makes this time any different than any other time? You should ask the Lord because he'll show you. And I've been talking about it on this show pretty much every Sunday. Do I talk about this pretty much every week, Gary? The coming of Jesus?
Yes.
I talk about it almost every week.
Yes.
And there's so much proof. Go ahead, Gary.
No, and it's wonderful. There is so much proof.
There's so much that Jesus talked about that fit this generation. And he said the generation that sees the fig tree bloom, which is talking about Israel, and when Israel becomes a nation, Israel was not a nation for 2,000 years. Ezekiel prophesied in Ezekiel 37, and he said, can these dead bones live? And then the Lord told him, son of man, prophesy to those dead bones. Dead bones, you shall live. And as he prophesied, he began to see a vision, and he began to see the tendons come back onto the bones. And then he saw the flesh come back onto the whole skeleton, and it began to live once again. And those dead bones became alive. Israel was dead. And in 1948, Israel became a nation once again after the devil tried to destroy Israel by killing 6 million Jews. And in 1948, a miracle of God under Prime Minister Ben-Gurion, Israel became a nation once again. And in 1967, Jerusalem became the property once again of Israel. And in 2018, Jerusalem was declared the eternal capital of Israel by the United States of America. We have seen the rebirth of the Jewish people. And Jesus said that the generation that sees this begin to take place will not pass away until everything is fulfilled. Jesus is coming soon. If you can't see that, wake up. And if you don't know him, come to know him. You say, well, you know, I'm Catholic. I'm this, I'm that. I don't believe in religion. Listen, you don't need to believe in religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about the God of the universe. I'm talking about the creator. And he said, if you will taste of the Lord, you will see that he is good. If you will call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Call upon the name of Jesus. Call upon Jesus's name. Say, God, are you real? Is Jesus real? Is Jesus a savior? And if you mean it from your heart, I mean, you're not trying to prove something, but you really want to know the truth, I guarantee you that if you ask him sincerely, he will reveal himself to you. He wants you to see him. He said in the book of Acts, if happily you will feel after him, you will find him, for he is not far from every one of us. He is right here. He's omnipresent. Where two of us are gathered in his name, he's right here in the midst. And those of you that are listening that are believers, don't keep your mouth closed. Don't be some undercover believer. Tell people about your relationship with God. Tell people about the love of Jesus. They might be the only voice of Jesus that they hear before judgment. And they can escape judgment if you will let God use you to tell them about Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got another email here tonight from our friend Bob. Bob says, God bless you and all at Spirit of Faith. Happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there and to the dads out there who are acting as both mom and dad if your beloved wife has passed on. Amen. That's a wonderful thought, Bob. Let's pray for all those single dads right now. And let's pray for all of the dads whose wives have passed or the mothers have passed. My son's best friend, his mother passed away last year. Just a few days ago, was a year ago, and her birthday was just last week. And then, of course, today is Mother's Day. And so, actually, no, it hasn't been a year. It's been less than that. But let's go ahead and pray for the family. Let's pray for the dad. Now, we don't pray for her because the Bible says that man's appointed once unto death and then the judgment. What the Bible also says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We don't pray for people in heaven. There's no need to pray for them in heaven. They're in heaven. They've escaped now the pain of death. They're with Jesus, but we pray for their family. So Father, we just pray right now for Edmund. We pray for Jamie. We pray for all of the single dads out there. We pray for the families. Father, we pray your comfort. We pray your protection. We pray your blessing upon them. We pray for wisdom. We pray for strength, and we pray for hope that they will not give up, that they will not be worn out, but that they will press on, Father, in the name of Jesus. We praise you and thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Even in my own family, my wife's husband passed away from cancer. And the Lord told her she'd never have babies, she'd never be a soccer mom, she'd never do a whole bunch of stuff, but God is the kinsman redeemer. He is the one who will redeem us, give us the desires of our heart. Praise God. There's another person who's a great singer. I'm trying to think of his name. Jeremy. Maybe Gary knows his name. Great singer. They just did a movie about him. His wife died of cancer. I think it was uterine cancer right after they got married. She was like 21 years old and she died of cancer. And, you know, it was probably the worst thing he ever went through. And yet, what did God do? God gave him a beautiful wife. He now has several children and been able to take that testimony and use that testimony because she was a strong believer. She loved God. And her prayer was, if the Lord doesn't heal me, if I go home to be with the Lord, use this testimony to save other people. And they did a movie about it. Maybe somebody can write in and tell me. I can't think of his name right now. But they did a movie about it that just got released recently. And, you know, you're going through something difficult like that where someone passes away and you got all these questions and you're wondering what's going on and why does this happen? Listen, God will give you the answers that you need and he will help you through it. Praise God. Amen. Got another email here tonight. Just got a couple minutes left. Email from James. James says, hi, mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Pastor John, for the show tonight. Many blessings to all the moms. Thank you, Brother James. God bless you as well. Another email here tonight from Charlie. Charlie says, hi, new listener from Thompson, Manitoba. Great show. Fantastic preaching of the word, Charlie. Charlie, so good to hear from you tonight and everybody else as well. What a privilege it's been to be with you. Oh, we got another, looks like a couple quick emails that snuck in. Oh no, we got James. And nope, looks like we got to everybody. Praise God. What a privilege it's been to be with you tonight. We call each and every one of you blessed, healed, protected. And until we meet again next week, remember to keep fighting the good fight of faith, because God is exalted, the devil is defeated, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.